after 6 days is what we hear, just heard, just now in the opening of our gospel from the 17th chapter of St. Matthew. He's setting the time for this account of the transfiguration, which is recorded by all four evangelists. But it's Matthew who recorded it now after 6 days. The implication or the inference here is that it is a seventh day. Now, not necessarily the Sabbath, but rather the seventh day following the last account, chronologically speaking. But this is an important motif that we see throughout Scripture. And before considering that, I want you to understand something about the fact that we are presented with the account of the Transfiguration when the Holy Orthodox Church already sets apart a special day, a feast day. It's a very important feast day within Holy Orthodoxy on August the 6th. So why is it that the Church is presenting us with this pericope, with this passage of Scripture on the second Sunday of Lent? Well, I believe that it has to do with this opening motif, after 6 days. You see, 6 days is a reference, really, to the days of creation. God creating the heavens and the earth and all the creatures of the earth, and then his crowning achievement, the creation of man, Adam and Eve, on the sixth day. And we know that he then set apart the seventh day. The seventh day is a day of rest, a Sabbath, a day of holiness, a day, if you will, of transcendence, for the whole of creation to bask in the holy presence and divine energies of God who had blessed his work. Our weekly cycles follow this pattern. And there, in many ways, we, even as religious faithful, get trapped in the 6 days of the material world. We tend to separate and to compartmentalize our faith. We come to Mass, we come to Matins, maybe, hopefully, some of you can come to the prayer offices. But then we go away, and Monday through Saturday, we're dealing with all the issues of life. And in many ways, we have compartmentalized those issues. We've compartmentalized those human relationships as part and parcel of our faith. But this is not what God had intended. Yeah, we can box up our belief in miracles, our belief in the mysteries of the sacraments, and all that, but it really is, if we're honest with ourselves, it's reserved for a little place on Sunday morning, or maybe for a short time throughout our morning or evening prayers at home. But in many ways, we don't allow that to have impact on how we face the rest of life. But you see, the account of the Transfiguration is a revelation that God has brought the 6 days, the material world, into the place of transcendence. Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, were invited to go with him up to the Mount of Tabor. And it was there that, as St. Gregory of Palamas would indicate, the uncreated light and energy of God shone forth from Jesus, blinding, dazzling light. And there appearing were Elijah, Moses and Elijah, indicative that Jesus was the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. And Peter, God bless Peter, right? This was the guy that was ready to jump out of the boat into the water. Peter said, Let's build three booths, tabernacles, one for you, Lord, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And he hadn't even finished speaking yet when God the Father boomed forth from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear him. Instant fear, holy fear, struck these men. And they fell down like dead men, trembling before the Lord. If they felt that they had not encountered holiness with the transfiguration of Jesus, they certainly had realized with the voice of the Father from heaven that they had come into the presence of transcendence, of holiness, realizing that they were creatures and not the Creator, and that they had no place before that place of transcendence. But it was Jesus, the God-man, who was able to provide them with not only a divine but a human touch. He touched them and he said, "Arise, do not be afraid." You see, this account of the transfiguration really speaks to our journey. And it is in this journey of Great Lent in which the church has designed and has fashioned our disciplines, our more intense prayer life, our fasting, our almsgiving, with the idea that we are being brought out of our materialism, out of our compartmentalization of our faith, and recognizing that besides the weekly six-day cycles, 6 days of work and a day of worship, the Lord's Day, that we are continually being brought into and integrated into God's presence, his transcendence. It is that thereby we realize and encounter not only the God-man, Christ Jesus, but we get a glimpse of what God has purposed for you and me, a life of the divine. The fact that we, as St. Peter says, that we have been called to be divine partakers of God's nature by grace. And remembering what St. Athanasius said, God became man so that man could become God's. That is, that we could live a life of the divine, a glorified life that was the veil of which was removed at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the life we're called to. And it is those encounters with transcendence and holiness that really transfigures not only us, that it not only exposes our own stuff and darkness and our need for God's grace and forgiveness and healing and wholeness, but that transfigures every aspect of our lives. The grace and energies of God become such in our lives that everything that we do becomes a holy work. There is no menial or meaningless tasks. Even though we sometimes have very unpleasant tasks we might have to do on a daily basis. I remember very specifically the life-changing encounter that I had with transcendence, with holiness. Not that I had not had them before, but this was really worldview changing for me. I'd just become a priest in the Charismatic Episcopal Church after leaving the United Methodist Church and had begun seminary studies over at the Life in Jesus Community, Benedictine Community, which is now, by the way, St. Nina's Monastery, Orthodox Monastery outside of Liberty Town. And I remember taking a systematic theology class with Father John Wargle, a man, a mentor of mine, a brilliant mind, and going there for the weekend. And we were really having some heavy discussions all day Saturday in the work that we had done in the weeks before in systematic theology, stuff that could really fry your brain. And as I left the seminary that day to head home, I began just reflecting on those conversations and thinking about the implications of what we had been studying. And suddenly, it was as though God pulled back just a little bit of the veil for me. I wasn't thinking of anything in particular, but just having these general thoughts about God, when suddenly I realized something of the depth and the breadth of his holiness and how little I knew. I felt like James and John and Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was so unsettling to me and yet glorious that I almost literally had to pull the car off the side of the road. I felt joy and almost tears from my eyes. But I was also shaken about by it and realizing that we can't come close to putting God in a box with theological terms and formulas. But rather, God is to be plumbed for eternity without being able to plumb his depths. Forever and ever, God will be completely, in one respect, unknowable to us, completely transcendent, completely apart from his creation. And yet, in his love, he has given us his Son, who shares that same divine essence, and yet is able to touch us, is able to speak to us. The touch of Jesus, the voice of Jesus. This is our life-changing encounters. Every day on our own Mount Tabor, we are changed by the voice of Jesus. Our Father saying, listen, hear him. And that word, that Greek word, hear him, is sort of like what we might say as parents to our children, listen to me. It's not just the act of physically hearing, but it's the act of heeding and obeying. Listen, hear him, heed him, obey him. He is the way to paradise. And so we hear him. We hear him in the prayers of the liturgy. We hear him in the hymns that we sing. We hear him in the voice of the preacher proclaiming the gospel. We hear him in the calm assurance and admonitions of a friend, of a trusted counselor, in our time of need, in our time of despair or depression. We hear him in the voice of that brother or sister, and he touches us. He touches us through others, and he touches us in the most profound way upon our lips and our mouths in the Holy Eucharist given as a gift from heaven. We cannot go away unchanged, but our lives rather are transfigured. And even in the 6 days of the ordinary time of the week, we are brought out of our materialism, and the transcendence and holiness is infused with everything that we do. Let us remember this. We don't live as practical atheists or heathen during the week and then save our faith for Sunday morning, but rather allow the grace and the glory of Tabor, the blessed uncreated energies of God, to permeate and to sanctify every area of our lives and of our soul Let us give thanks as we continue our Lenten disciplines and allowing that grace to penetrate our souls for His glory, for our sanctification and healing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.